Lord, as I open your word today, I trust you, and I believe that the Holy Spirit will take what belongs to the Father and teach our hearts. We open our hearts to receive your word because your word is truth. Your word is the only thing that saves. No man's word. I don't have it. I don't have the answer. But Jesus, I believe your word does. So today, teach us. In Jesus' name I pray. And if you agree, you say, amen. Awesome. So you guys had good Christmas? Yeah, thanks for coming out. Those of you that were able to come out to celebrate with us on Christmas Eve. The title of my message this morning is, Where Are You? God will always be after you. Where are you? You know, that question, this is a question that, I mean, it's very wide. So where are you? I mean, where are you in life? Where are you in relationship with the Lord, of course, first of all? Where are you in relationship with your family? Okay? You know, I know some people, especially during Christmas or Thanksgiving season, it's a very tough time for them because a lot of people, a lot of families, they don't see eye to eye. And a lot of families have been divorced each other. When I'm talking about families, I'm not talking about husband and wife necessarily. It could be brothers and sisters. It could be cousins. You know, the Bible says in Psalm, God sent his blessing where there is unity. And that applies at every level of life. God sent his blessing where there's unity. So when there's when a family is united, that family is blessed. Oh, yeah. See, but when a family is divided, or divorce, D2, you know, when a family is divorced, separate, amen, God's blessing is not on it. You know, and I know my heart goes out to many families, especially during the Christmas season, that a lot of people have been, a lot of people spent the Christmas season alone. They feel lonely because they are. You know, but thank God for the kingdom's family. Open your Bibles with me in Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to read. You know, this is a very good passage, Genesis. It's the story right before, right after God told Adam and Eve not to eat the fruit. You know, I know a lot of people ask themselves, well, why did God put the tree in there anyway? Well, I'll tell you a short answer. You guys don't know anything about voodoo. Although, here, I mean, yes, my brother, yes, you do. You know what I'm talking about. But for us Africans, I grew up in Haiti, and I know about voodoo. I've never served the devil, but I've seen it in action. I've cast evil spirit. I've seen Christians here adopt the Halloween movement as a cultural thing, but when you celebrate and you turn your front yard into a graveyard, you're opening up yourself and your home and your family to a lot of evil spirit. So therefore, you see, man, people acting crazy. They behave certain ways. You're like, man, how come they do that? How come they act that way? It's because they're being influenced by evil spirit. You know, and of course, you've got generational curse that follows one family to the next family, the next, and the next, so on and so forth. For example, you have families that kill themselves, suicidal families. Sometimes they're like, it can be mental as well, but you know, it's demonic. Oh, yeah. So this is not where we're going. That's another subject. All right, let's go back to where I want to go. Today, I read Genesis chapter 3 this week, and even this morning again, and I'm like, wow, there's a lot in here. But this morning, I want to stay in my title. God is asking for you. God is searching for you. God is searching for me and you. In verse 1, it says, now the serpent was the shrewdest of all the creatures the Lord God had made. Really? Really? He asked, really? He asked the woman. Did God really say you must not eat any of the fruit in the garden? Now, you need to understand, in chapter 2, the devil is already in a conversation with the woman. So the woman says, you know what? God says, don't touch this. And he goes on, really? Did he really say that? Of course not. She answers, of course. He answers, of course we may eat anything, the woman told him. It is only the fruit from the tree at the center of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God says we must not eat it or even touch it or we will die. And the devil says, verse 4, you won't die. You know, you won't die. Verse 5. God knows that your eyes will be opened when you eat it. You will become just like God, knowing everything, both evil and good. Verse 6. The woman was convinced. Underline that in your Bible. You see, the moment Satan can convince someone God doesn't love him, you're doomed. The moment you are convinced, you've got the conviction, God will never forgive you, you'll never approach him. The moment you are, conviction, I'm talking about conviction. And on the other hand, when you receive the revelation of God's love and you are convinced God loves you, man, nothing in this world can separate you from the love of God. When you know God's love does not depend on your performance, you don't have to perform for God's love. Because you know God's love, he loves you no matter what. That's the kingdom's gospel. The good news is God loves the world so much that he gave. He gave his son. God wants intimacy with you. But Satan, he always, here we can see it in Genesis chapter 3. He keeps us in deceit. He keeps us in he lies to us. You know, he makes us believe things that are not true. And I tell you this, Satan gives nothing for free. Satan gives nothing for free. There's no eternal life in Satan. Of course, I told you before, everyone has eternal life. Whether you spend eternity in hell or you spend it in heaven. Okay, this is not where we're going, but let's stay with a verse, with our scripture. The woman was convinced, underline that. She was convinced of what? The fruit looked good and so fresh and delicious, and it would make her wise. So she ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her. Then he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were open and they suddenly felt, underline that in your Bible, shame. And their nakedness. So they strung fig leaves together around their hips to cover themselves. Towards evening, they heard the voice of the Lord once again. They heard. So they had a personal relationship with God. You know, when you study the Bible, the word Eden means the presence of God. The Garden of Eden, the word Eden, when you study the word Eden, the Hebrew word that's translated Eden means the presence. So Adam and Eve were birthed in the presence of God. So they knew the Lord's voice. And the first thing that happened, one of the things that happened when they sinned, they could still hear the voice of God. But they felt ashamed. And then the Lord of God called Adam. Hey, Adam, where are you? Do you think God didn't know where he was? You know, when we play hide and seek with little kids, you know, they say when you play hide and seek with little kids, you don't go and hide on top of in one of your cupboards, because the kid won't see you. You go and hide behind the curtain and you stick one of your foot out, right? So you give the kid a hint so the kid can find you. God knew where Adam was. He saw exactly they were hiding behind the tree. But God wasn't really asking, where are you physically? God's like, man, there is a separation. Where is that intimacy? Adam. And then Adam gave him a great answer. He said, Lord, he replied, I heard your voice, so I hid. I was afraid. Once again, a lot of people don't want to come to the Lord because they are afraid. I'm here this morning to tell you, don't be afraid. Always come to God. There is no shame in the presence of God. You know, Satan wants us to believe that there's shame in the presence of God. When you feel, whenever I'm feeling low, I call your name. I have a song for everything. Because you lift me up on no other word, feel the same. I mean, whenever you're feeling low, the kingdom gospel tells us, come to God. When you feel ashamed, come to Him. There is no condemnation in Him. And this morning, God is asking, where are you? Where are you in your walk with Him? And I tell you, hold tight what you have. Because as the day of the Lord approach, as the day of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ get nearer and nearer, it's going to be get harder and harder to be saved. Let me explain. Not because the gospel doesn't have power to save, it does. But it's because the heart of men is going to become more evil. People will reject. That's what it says in 1 Timothy. People, at the end time, people won't want to do anything with sound doctrine. When you're talking about holiness, you're talking about serving God who is a holy God, you must be holy. People don't want to hear that. I told you a story already. I was going to one of the church I used to go to. I was helping with worship. I had no idea what kind of church it was. But I needed the job. It was the first time I was hired at the church. I was hired as a worship leader. So I went two services. I play the piano. You know, I sing and stuff. But then the first Sunday I was there, the guy was just talking about, I wasn't sure what he was talking about. I have never seen them open the Bible. After a while, I'm like, man, what is this? Do you know there are churches out there like that? There are people out there that goes to church. They don't want to be challenged. They don't want to talk about holiness. They don't want to talk about repent. Turn away from your sins. Come to God. They don't want to hear about that stuff. You know, we have a lot of wonderers out there. People that are wondering. And one of the things I discover, remember, God says, where are you? And I'm talking about where are you today, because God will always go after you. Your goodness is running after. It's running. Think about that one again. Your goodness is running after. I want everybody to think about that. Repeat that. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid out, I surrender. But, okay, even before you surrender, God's goodness is running after you. I want you to picture God. I want you to picture that. I mean, God is not just, He's like full-blown running after you. His goodness is full-blown running after me. He wants me to experience His goodness on a daily basis. I tell you, man, guys, I pray the Lord, as life gets tougher, as we face many challenges, I also pray for revival. Because tough time brings revival. I pray that the Bible says, come you who are thirsty. Come you who are hungry. Come and buy good stuff from me. I pray people will just turn away from their wicked ways and find God. You know, when I study the Word of God, I realize that the New Testament and the Old Testament begin with the first question that appeared in the New Testament is God asking for people, where are you? Or, let me explain. In the Old Testament, God was asking after Adam and Eve sinned, there's a separation. God is asking, where are you guys? You know, where are you in life? What happened? And you know what happened. Then God, cast them out of his presence. But since then, God has been trying to restore relationship with mankind. You know, to get where you want to go, the first question you always have to answer is, where am I? What do you want to be in life? You know? What would you want to achieve? Where do you want to be in life? What do you want, what's your goal? I have a goal. I have a purpose. You know, and a lot of times people put a lot of emphasis on the material stuff. You know, I want to study this, which is good. I want to make this amount of money, which is good. Okay? I want to do this. I want to do that. But that's not what I'm talking about. Because at the end of the day, none of that stuff matters. You need to work hard. You need to do your best. But at the end of the day, none of that stuff will matter. To get to where you want to go, the first question you need to be able to answer is, where am I? And the crazy thing is, I cannot answer that question for you. You cannot answer that question for me. We all have to give our personal answer. You know, I read our falls. Our fall was and has always been and always will be that we are not satisfied with God. Humankind's fall has always been that they're not satisfied with God. You know, God is more than enough. If you've experienced that God is more than enough, you know what I'm talking about. The Lord is more than enough. His presence is more than enough. You might have everything else somebody could have. You know, I've heard stories of people that's got everything they need, but still they kill themselves. Well, why would you kill yourself? If you don't have money problem, travel problem, women problem, men problem, I mean, what else problem? You can add, the list can go on and on. But yet still, so miserable, so hopeless, hang themselves, shoot themselves, drink poison. Why? It's because that void that's in your heart, there's only one person that can satisfy it. They call it a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. That's it. Nothing else. I have another song. Nothing in this world will satisfy. Because Jesus, you're the source that won't run dry. You can tell. I sing all the time. Nothing in this world won't satisfy us. Because Jesus is the source that will never run dry. That will never run dry. You know, the only thing that will satisfy our hunger for more is to hunger for the one who comes down. And this is a good season because we talk a lot about Christmas. He came down to Bethlehem. When you study the word Bethlehem, it means the house of bread, the house of life. I mean, how funny is that? Jesus came, and when you study the word of bread of Bethlehem, it means the house of bread. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Anyone who eats me will never get hungry anymore. Anyone who drink. You remember in John chapter 4, his encounter with the woman? He says, let me tell you something. I'm going to give you a drink. If you drink it, that's it. And the woman's like, well, Lord, man, what are you? Who are you? Are you greater than Jacob who built this? He's like, you don't know. You have no idea who you're talking to. And then she got smart. She says, well, then give me that drink. Personal encounter. Personal encounter. She heard about the drink. She heard about the bread. She says, I want it. Well, Jesus says, okay, I'll give it to you. But first thing first, for you to encounter, to experience that drink, you need to repent. Go and bring your husband. At that time, she was living with a man that was not her husband, and she had five of them. But she did encounter Jesus. She goes home. She says, man, I've encountered the prophet. So yeah, the only thing that will satisfy our hunger. And I will challenge you once again today, as we're getting ready to enter into a new year, to dwell in the house of bread. Dwell in the house of bread. Keep tight what you have, so no one steal it from you. So the worries of this life steal it from you. Keep tight what you have, so the political situation in our country doesn't steal it from you. The worries for tomorrow, the uncertainty for the future doesn't steal it from you. That's what I'm going to do. As for me and my house, that's what we're going to do. And as long as I am the lead pastor here, that's what we will do here in this church. We're going to keep tight what God has for us. We're going to stay focused on Jesus. Oh yeah. We're going to give room to the Holy Spirit. That's what we'll do. Jesus is the one that came to us to offer himself as the bread of life. So let us continue to eat that bread. Let us continue to invite him in our home, in our lives. I told you already, and I'm going to repeat myself, because I actually find out they say it takes 21 times. That's why they say the best way to remember something is to sing it. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Is to sing it like 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. We know it very well back in our ministry school because we have songs with it. We sing it. A song you remember, your goodness is running after. You won't forget that one. Especially certain catchy tunes you create a song with, you'll never forget it. I told you already last year, December 27th. I'm not sure what we would do if we knew 2020. Maybe some of us would be get ready for it. There's no way you can prepare for tomorrow because you have no power over tomorrow. The only thing you can do to prepare for tomorrow is entrust your life to the maker of tomorrow. Can I have a witness? The only thing you can do for tomorrow is to prepare. The only thing you can do to prepare for tomorrow is to entrust your life to the maker of tomorrow. See, we only find out where we are when we find out where Jesus is. I talk over Christmas Eve about the wise men. The wise men seek him. The wise men search for him. The wise men ask, where is? You see now, in the Old Testament, after Adam and Eve cut the relationship between them and God, God's been searching. God is still searching. Since then, when you study the law, everything that was done so men could have a direct access to God. Finally, nothing works. From Malachi to Matthew, there's the 400 years of silence. God said nothing. And finally, there was a good conversation in heaven. And God's like, man, I just miss my people. I just miss intimacy with them. Then Jesus says, Father, I will go. I will go and take their place. I will go. I will go and be that lamb you're looking for. I will. First of all, Father God says, no way. No way, Jesus. You're not going. You're not going to die for who? These people? But the Bible says in John 3:16, I repeat again, for God loves us so much, he agreed that Jesus would come and take our form. So then, we have the responsibility to search for him. And the wise men, they set that example. They studied the stars. They got ready. And finally, understand that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. And then they looked for him. Did you know the wise men, it took them about 6 months by the time they find Jesus? We read the story. We think, well, the wise men just went on a trip to Pennsylvania. It wasn't that way. They didn't have the superhighway. They had all kinds of issues. But then they still made it. I tell you, when you are hungry for the Lord, When you're willing to search here, I tell you, seeking him while he may be found. Because there's gonna come a day when people are gonna seek for the Lord and they won't find him. So seek for the Lord when you can find it. I read in Isaiah 55 verse 6 and 7, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their wicked ways. Let the unrighteous repent from their sins. Say, let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for all he will, to our God, for he will freely pardon or forgive. You know, seek God through worship. You know, what is worship? A lot of people don't understand worship. You know, praise, let's say praise. When you praise someone, you venerate that person. Is that an English word? Venerate. All right, you honor them. You know what praise is? Have you ever praised someone? Yeah, you know, he's like, man, this, you know, Kendo, you light so good, man. Look at this Kendo. Oh, talk about this piano. I tell you guys, I'm gonna talk about my piano here. This is my piano. I love this piano. And guys, you might not understand what I'm talking about, but I'm serious. This is one of the best. When me and this piano are playing, when I'm playing this piano, I tell you, man, guys, I can't explain. Let's do this. Not only it's beautiful, what am I doing right now? I'm praising my piano. And a lot of people, they praise their stuff. But my piano cannot save me. You know, I saw on Facebook the other day, one of our friends posted, they give their kids something. I guess the kids wanted that thing. And the kids were so excited. The kids was like, yeah. And the kids saw the thing. He's just like, yeah. You know? The kids were excited. I mean, here we don't have that yet. But I can show you, if you go on my Facebook, you go and see some of the praises, the holy praise, we call it the crazy praise, holy praise. You know, we're bringing sacrifice and people are just dancing and this guy's taking their shirt off. You know, they're like praising the Lord, you know, pulling their ties off. I mean, they don't care. There's one guy, man, he's laying on the floor and he's got his leg up there like that. You know, he's praising God. Praising. He's so crazy about God. You know, a lot of us, we don't know what that is. A lot of people don't even know what worship is because we grew up in a democracy. The kingdom is not democracy. See, when the king comes in a kingdom, when the king enter a place or the room, you don't stand around and say, hey, Mr. King. That's how you do it. The moment the king is approaching, the announcer come, arrive the king. Everybody's like, what? Right? That's what you do. Reverence to the king. The wise men, once again, go back to Christmas. The wise men understood that. They came in offering the king their best. A lot of us don't understand what worship is because we don't give God our best. God deserves my best. If I'm going to worship God, if I'm going to spend time with him, guess what? I want to give him my full attention. I don't want to be like, man, this whole day has gone by me. Oh, let's just read my Bible religiously. Give God your best. Most present day Christians does not know how or what worship is about. Worship has more to do than singing a song. Jesus says it in the Word. It says the time has come where true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Sometimes you could just have how great is our God. Sing with me how great. And then you're getting a revelation of how great God is in your life. And you ponder right there. You think about that. You sing it. You start having bubble of joy. Or you maybe you start crying, realizing, man, how great is my God. How great is my God. How great is my God. Expression of worship. When you worship something, you express. You know? I'm encouraging you guys to start doing that too. As the year is changing. Grow in your worship with the Lord. Spend time to worship Him. You know? Lift up your hands. Oh, gates. Open the gates. Let the King of Glory enter. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, don't be shy to shout hallelujah. You know hallelujah, what it means? Go and search it. I'm not telling you. You know it already, but I'm not going to tell you. Write in your note, hallelujah, ? You know? You shout. Yes, hallelujah, victory, Jesus, come Lord Jesus. I like that, keep it coming. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Yes. You get excited about the Lord. Is Jesus exciting? Yes. So you do. It's not a Caribbean thing. It's a Holy Spirit thing. When you encounter Jesus, you realize, man, there's life in Jesus. There's joy in Jesus. There's hope in Jesus. Is life easy? No. There's peace in Jesus. So seek the Lord through worship, because He's looking for you. But yet, under the new covenant, there's a responsibility. You have to look for Him too. Because when you look for Him, that's when you find Him. I told you already, I'm going to keep repeating myself all my life. He will always be looking for you. God will always be, His heart is wide open. He wants you. The Lord wants you. He's a good father. He's a good father. You know, and that's I want to follow Him. I want to be like Him. So my kids would know that I always want them. They'll always have a place with me. I always have a place with God. You always have a place with Father. The world out there needs to understand that they have a place with God. They don't have to run away from Him. Even if they are separated from Him, He wants to give them life. You know, the other thing also, when you seek God in worship, when you seek God in worship, you give Him your time. You give Him your best. The wise men showed us. They give Him their best. They give Him gifts. You know? They give Him great gifts. Not dollar store gifts. You can give the kids dollar store gifts because they're not going to survive it till New Year. But God, you give Him your best. I love David. David told us in 2nd, there's a story in 2 Samuel. I'm going to read it. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 10 to 24. It says, regardless of the circumstance found in this verse, a condition which we find hard to explain, David sinned in numbering the Israelites. The Lord gave David the choice of three punishments in that story. The number one choice He gave David, He says, you choose 7 years of famine. Number two is 3 months of fleeing before his enemies. Number three is 3 days of pestilence in the land. David refused to make a choice, but rather said, let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for His mercies are greater. This is wise. Because David is like, man, God, I would rather you punish me. God, I would rather, because I know, even in your anger, when I repent, you give me mercy. Oh man, what a revelation. I want that. God, please do not let me fall into the hand of my enemy. What a revelation. And then the Lord sent, and then it says, when the angel stretched his hand out, his hands to destroy Jerusalem, the Lord said, it's enough. Because then the angel was doing things, and David was commanded to build an altar at the threshing floor of Arona and Jebusite. When Arona saw David and his servants coming to him, he bowed down himself before the king and asked his mission. He says, what have you been up to? David says, well, I come to build an altar to the Lord. Arona replied, here's the thresh floor, here's the wood, here's the oxen, take them without charge. I give them all to you. Which, when I read this, I'm like, oh wow, what a blessing. But then David was just like, the king said, No. I will build it. I will buy it from you. I'll buy everything. I will not offer burnt offerings into the Lord, that which costs me nothing. David's like, if it doesn't cost me, it's not worth it. You know, people talk about fasting. They can't. I'm not asking you to fast, okay? But it's just an example. Fasting to search for God. You know, maybe turn your media off for 3 weeks to search for God. Maybe come here. Come in the sanctuary. He said, you know, there's a deeper thirst in my soul, Lord. I'm going to, just to prevent distraction, I'm going to come into the sanctuary. This is the house of prayer. We should come here for prayer. I'm going to come in the house of the Lord, and I'm going to discipline myself. God, I'm going to do that for a week, every day for 3 hours, for 7 days. I'm going to pay the price, Lord. When we do stuff like that, we don't do it for the Lord, because his love and mercy is already available. We do it for yourself. David right here, whether David took the wood that was offering to him for free, or he bought it, his heart was right. His heart was right. But then David decided, you know what? My God, I don't offer him anything that doesn't cost me. So, if it doesn't cost you, the result, a lot of result you won't see. We hear of people, there's a story of a lady that would go out, Heidi Baker, as a matter of fact. She would go out and experience God would use her mightily for miracles. But then, so I think somebody asked her, you know what happened? She says, well, I spent 8 hours on my face in the presence of God. You know, the more time you spent with God, the more you become with God, like God. The more time you spent with him, the more you become like him. It's just like a friend. If you want to be my friend, I want to be your friend, the more time we spend, the more we're going to talk like each other. I don't look like my wife. No way. But don't we look alike? Yes. Because we've been spending time together a lot. You don't look like your wife. You don't look like your husband. Your best friend, you don't look like, you don't look like each other. But the more time you spend with each other, the more you become like each other. You talk like each other. You act like each other. And when they see you, they see her. It's the same thing. It's not like a big scientist thing. It's very simple. The more time you spent with God in Bible reading, in meditating, in prayer, in worship, in praising his name, the more you become like him. The less you become like a world. So seek him. This was seek him through worship. God is seeking for you. He's looking for you. He will always be looking after you. Seek him through the word of God. I talk a lot about that. Read the word. Meditate on the word. Knowing the value of listening to God's word. A person seeking God's will hear him when he speaks. And that person will increase learning, according to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. Seek him and receive rest. You know, and I want to end up with this. Certain advantages we have by seeking, when we seek the Lord and when we allow him to find us. You see, now God is looking for you, but you have to allow him to find you. You have to respond. Today you know that God is looking for you. You know he loves you. So therefore, you need to give an answer to him. When you seek God, you find rest. You have rest. The Bible says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search for him with all your heart and your soul. If we seek for the Lord with all our hearts, with all our souls, the Bible says we will find him. If you want him, you will find him. You know, seeking God gives you life. You know, a lot of times we feel dead on the inside. We deal with depression. You know, we all deal with it. Sadness. You know, we feel lifeless. But seeking the Lord brings you life. Seek for him. Sing praise. When you feel down, sing praise. You feel discouraged, find a praising songs. Forever God is faithful. Turn the music loud in your car. I know you say you don't know how to sing. Well, sing to the Lord at home in your car. Sing loud. Forever God is strong. Lord, I'm feeling like crap today. I feel discouraged today. God, I'm not feeling it. But you sing praise to him. You know, back in the days, still today, they think their spiritual state depend on the preacher. It doesn't. I only have you here for 2 hours at least every Sunday. You think that would be enough for you to keep you spiritually healthy? No. So my challenge is go to the source. Dwell in the source. Because then when you dwell in the source, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I told you I have a song for everything. Right? When you dwell in the source on a daily basis, no matter what comes, 2021, we will be steadfast because we are on the solid foundation. Those who seek God find strength. You feel weak? Well, seek him. You'll be strong. I find strength in him. Don't let any preacher that makes you think that he's already in heaven. I'm not in heaven yet, so I deal with the same issues you deal with. So therefore, I got to seek the Lord. I have to find him. Seeking God fills you with joy and gladness. You know, seeking God, choosing to seek God lead to deliverance. You see people that have been in church forever and never encounter God. So they're still dealing with addiction. Pornography addiction, smoking addiction, eating addiction, backstabbing addiction. Man, there are people, they have backstabbing addiction. They talk, they gossip. Call that addiction too. They cannot stop talking about other people. It's got to stop. Idolatry, fornication, adultery. The list can go on and on. Seeking God leads to discernment and understanding, and wisdom comes to those who seek God. Do we want wisdom for the next year? If that's what you want, I'd invite you to stand up in the presence of the Lord. Father, I thank you today for your word. Jesus, this is I plant the seed, you know. We invite the worship team to come up and we'll do one more song, but I'm going to pray. Lord God, thank you, Father, for just giving us the chance this morning to choose you. Thank you that your goodness is running after me. Your love is running after me. Thank you that you're searching for your people today. Today, Father, I ask that you would pour down a fresh revelation of that.
of love. And as we hear and listen to your word today, we would open up our hearts and seek for you as well.